Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke. I'm your art barista at Let's Talk Art. Today, I'm chatting with the fabulous Regine Beckler. She's a German sculptor and fashion designer with a very modern avant-garde style. I learned how she came to the U.S., how she discovered she was a sculptor. We talk about her show at the Museum of Illusions here in Charlotte. She's got a new fashion line called Peace Jackets. She's got so many projects and shows going on. We talk about it all. Enjoy. I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is a brand that represents a community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, courses, and coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for a 50% off discount on all of their products. That's B-R-O-O-K-E.
Hey, Regine.
Hello. I can hear you. I can see you. Can you see and hear me?
I can see and hear you. Awesome.
Good.
How are you?
Good. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love your shirt.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Are you sitting in your studio?
This is my podcast studio. It's like my guest room.
You're the same. It's my office, my guest room.
But it works. It works. Yeah. Did you design your shirt?
No, that's a designer shirt I got 100 years ago in New York.
Wow. Wow. Very cool. Very cool. How was your day? What did you do?
Was good. Was good. I had just a helper here, a contractor, because I will redo my garage.
Okay.
And the garage is actually my studio. Mm-hmm. But it looks bad. So I said I didn't feel well to work there, you know?
Right, right.
And also my idea was to offer workshops.
Okay.
Ceramic workshops. And I said, so it looks like before nobody would come.
Right, right.
I'm sure
they would.
No, I'm not too sure. It looks really bad. I tell you, it looks really bad. And so I thought when the floor is nicely done and freshened up and the walls are nice and the garage door and all this, you know, then I'm good to go. I have new lights in. I have a little split air condition. So it would be perfect then.
Very cool. That's such an awesome idea.
Yeah.
That's very cool. You have got a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Right now, it's a lot. I stumbled into this. I was not even working for it. But it came together and I like it. You know, I need this positive stress. Otherwise, you know, I'm not good.
Right, right. No, I like that. I'm good with, yeah, I like positive stress. I don't like the other. So I remember the first time I saw you or heard of you, I guess, was at the Lexicon Gallery opening.
Yeah.
I saw your, I guess it was the sculpture with the eyes, the eyeball shirt on it. And I loved it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like the coolest like sculptures. I mean, sculptures that I've seen ever. And
Good, thank you. That
just really stuck out to me. And all of your stuff is like really great. And it's just, it's kind of like abstract sculpture, if that's a thing. And so just talk about your, how did you get into it? How did you get your style?
Yeah, I think I got into it. I think as an artist is born as an artist.
Yeah.
And somehow to a certain point in life, this will come out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you start right away with this, or maybe even after you have a career in corporate, you discover that maybe art is more for you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're retired and then you deciding you will be an artist. So it came to me and I think it was in my bones, in my genes. And when I grew up halfway with my grandparents, mm-hmm. my grandfather is an artist. He's a painter.
Okay.
And my grandmother is a fashion designer, tailor, seamstress.
Neat.
So I had also the peace jackets. I think you remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
Time I had the peace jackets going on very successfully. And so, yeah, it came automatically. And then all the time I love to paint, draw, or do something more sculpting. So to a certain point in life, actually in Oregon, when I moved with my family to Portland, Oregon, it came out that I'm more a sculptor than a painter. You know, 3D is more my thing than 2D. And I heard this pretty often also when I was in college in Oregon. I had a teacher, he was actually a student from Henry Moore. And he said, "You're a sculptor, Regine. Forget all this, everything," because I was there for interior design and you had to take art classes. And I took the sculpting class because this was only what was left over. And then I took this art class and I totally loved it. And so yeah, he said then, the professor said to me, "You're a sculptor, Regine. You forget everything else."
Okay, so you had been that I was going to ask that also, like how did you narrow down, you wanted to do art, but how did you narrow down sculpting? But you said that you had to take this class and
Yes, when I took this class, and also I have to confess that I'm not good with colors, you know, that I'm actually colorblind. It's very seldom to be
really?
colorblind for women. It's 0.001%.
Really? That's
But I have a problem to see red and green. So I could not even see when you would turn red, I would not see it.
Wow.
And when somebody would explain, oh yeah, the light greenhouse on the left, you turn so not. I would have a hard time, you know. I could not see it. I could not even find a red golf ball on a green lawn.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane, because your pieces are so colorful.
Yeah, that's the reason, you know, because I think I could never do a realistic painting because this would be really hard for me to get the shading and so on. And maybe the light and dark shading I can do better than everybody else. That's a side effect when you're colorblind. But to make a face really the colors, you know, maybe with spots or not spots and red faces and so on, I will have really hard time to mix a skin color perfectly. You know, this be give me a hard time. And so I did all my paintings and I love to paint, but everything is bright and colorful. And I think for sure there are tons of especially male artists in the past who didn't know that they're colorblind and they did all this crazy, like Van Gogh, maybe he was colorblind, he didn't know.
Right,
All the crazy colorful paintings because I didn't know. And I did this, you know, because I saw then I could see the contrast from really strong red and strong green and pink. Then I see the difference. But pastel colors, woo.
Yeah, wow. And I
Yeah.
just noticed your dog. He's
I
adorable.
am. She's very needy. She's very needy.
Yeah, my dog is too. I understand. Very.
So better, you know, I put her right away on my lap before she's the whole time begging for attention and really distracting me.
Oh, she's awesome. She's awesome. So, well, how does being colorful, I mean, how does that, you dress so, like, your fashions are so, like, awesome and so just bright and well put together. How do you put them together if you can't see the color?
You know, the colors are strong colors. I use often the strong colors. I can tell, I can see. But for example, like I said, this pastel colors, I cannot see. I helped a friend who was working in a boutique and she asked me to decorate the windows for her because she said, "You're so artistic and you're so good in decoration as well. Take the green turtlenecks and then put them on the doll." And I said, "Green turtlenecks. Green turtlenecks." And then I took a stack of beige turtlenecks. And she said, "No, I told you take the green." The same, you know, I love interior design. And I was going to be an interior designer, but then I had really major problems with the people who like to have everything in dull colors. You know, when they came, I like to have something matching to my sage green walls. Oof, that's it. You know, I can do an interior design, I think pretty good, pretty crazy, pretty eclectic, artsy, but a really serious, traditional one, it's too difficult. I cannot see this light pink and the light sage walls.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, that's
Yeah.
crazy. Now, have you always been colorblind?
Yes, you are born like this. Yeah.
Wow. That blows my mind.
In the past, you know, I was hiding it. I was not telling anybody because I thought that's not good for the business to tell them I'm a colorblind designer, artist, fashion designer.
Yeah.
Nobody will buy anything for me. But now I said, what the heck? I don't care. And that's it. It is what it is. And even my art teacher, he said, the young eye doctors get teach that no women are colorblind. That's really that it's very seldom.
That's
and
funny.
but I said I am, and we discovered this, you know, when I was 16 in school. We had an eye doctor coming in there, and they had this cardboard, you know, with all the little dots, and they asked me, what do I see? And I said, I see a snake and maybe a rabbit, and there must be numbers, you know. And they thought they were really yelling at me. I almost walked out of the office crying because they were yelling at me that I should pull myself together and not tell them this stuff because there are numbers, and I should pull myself together and see the numbers.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
Okay, so you were 16 when you found it. Did you not have any need to know colors before? I mean, it seems like that's a late age
no,
to learn.
it's you know, at this time, you know, there was always a fight between my brothers. I grew up with two brothers.
Okay.
What kind of color is this? And the good thing is both of my brothers are colorblind.
Okay.
So my mother was the only one in the family who was not colorblind, and she had a hard time with us blind people around her. She said, no, this is the green. And we looked at it, this is not green. Since we were four, my dad, my two brothers and I, and she was always... not never right. She was never right. When she said that's green, nobody of us believed her.
That's hilarious. That is amazing. That's crazy. Okay, so you say that your sculptures are, your goal is to portray perception rather than reality. Love that. I love that. So how does that work? I mean,
Yeah, it's more like, I think also, you know, it's on the onlooker what you think about it. You know, it should actually not so much that you always ask when you go in the gallery, ask the artist, why did you do this? You know, because sometimes I don't understand. You're going in the gallery to see by yourself how the piece is reflecting on you, what you think about it. And then also I think a lot that a title is giving away a lot. You know, like with the eyepiece, your favorite piece, it's, you know, it's Argus. And this means, you know, kind like the all-seeing mother or the all-seeing person.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that I
and, and so I saw it always. I gave my sculptures a title that it's really related on the piece, what I think and what it should tell you, you know?
Right, right. Oh, I love that. I love that. I don't know. I think that's great that you like say that it's like it's all about the viewer's perception of it.
Yeah.
And I always ask artists, you know, like is because like they can have like a something in their head, like a message or whatever their inspiration is for creating the piece, and someone else can walk away with a completely different like
totally totally different idea, and you never got this and saying, wow, I didn't think about this.
Right. And I always think it's interesting to you know, to see the disparity between my own perception and the original intent.
Yeah.
I think that's super cool. But yeah, you so how did you get connected with the Museum of Illusions?
It came actually, they were asking and looking for women, female artists for the Women's Day in 8th of March. And they had a very, you know, a week before they got the idea, and they couldn't find so fast enough artists who were willing to do it and have enough inventory. And so I had all these pieces, and I said, five I can drag over there and fit in my car. So I said, I will do it. I will do it.
Nice. Well, I can totally see your stuff in I've never been there. But
you should go. You should go. You know, all the pieces are in there, also to a super, super nice price. And because I'm not with the gallery anymore, so I have not to share this. So it's about kind of like wholesale price right now, all my artwork.
Cool. Awesome. I was gonna say, like it just seems like you're I can see your pieces in a place like that. It would seem it would be like you know, fitting in there.
Yeah.
That's
and they are fitting in there because a lot of the public, a lot of the visitors are asking about it and walking around. The director, April, told me that she said a lot of the kids staying around and looking at them, and totally puzzled, and some of them see to the first time real artwork, you know.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's because, yeah, because it's not an art gallery. So that's, it's kind of a freedom in that you can kind of do, create what you want. I think that's neat. And I think I read that Dinier Davis and Bree Stallings were also in that. That's
Yeah,
cool.
I love Breeze pieces. They're so cool.
Yeah. I like both of them. I like both of them. But yeah, I think that's super cool, and I love the idea of like displaying in a non-art establishment.
Yeah, and it's, and they're safe there, you know. It's we have stuff around a little bit that they're not coming too close accidentally or so. And I chose also only the larger pieces, you know, what is a little bit more heavy and you can see it better, instead of the small ones you can maybe easily kick over or so, because it's an active place. It's a very active, fun place, and I think it's a perfect place, you know, even for a date night. You go first for dinner and then you go to the museum because they have open until 9.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's very cool. Yeah, we'll have to go there sometime.
Yeah, it's really fun. I was like I said also when I set it up the first time, and then I invited two friends over and we had such a blast there. We had really fun there. We didn't know that it's so much fun, and I told other people and I got a lot of people over there for them, and nobody ever was there before and said, we didn't know that we have a place like this here.
Right. Well, I didn't either. I didn't either. And it's downtown.
Yes, downtown, it's very close to the parallel to Harry Gunn Museum
Okay.
before, and the street name was so funny. One is Tryon, the address is Tryon, I think 906, but there's this parallel street and next door is a parking garage. But I would not take this, you know, it's very expensive. It doesn't matter how short you're there, it's always $24. So watch out, this is parking garage.
I don't like paying for parking.
It's very expensive. So see that when you go, take another parking lot or so.
Yeah, for sure. Or walk there, which
Yeah, I'll walk there.
I can't do,
Yeah.
but very cool. So this, I love your whole art career, your art story, everything. This is so, so you came to Charlotte when you were young, right?
No, I came to Charlotte. Yeah, I was young. 20 years ago. So
Yeah.
about a good 20 years ago, I came actually to the United States end of the 90s.
Okay.
And we ever landed in Portland, Oregon. My
Okay.
ex-husband was from Mercedes-Benz, an automotive engineer.
Nice.
And so he was working there for Mercedes and Freightliner. And then after 7 years in Portland, Oregon, they said they have to send us back to Germany, or we have to pick Alabama or Detroit. And I thought, oh my God, this sounds not very inviting.
Right.
So then they said suddenly it's an opening in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I said, this sounds not so danger like everything else. And so let
Right.
us take this and we can see. When we really don't like it, then we leave again.
Yeah.
But then we went, came over here to Huntersville. So we lived in Huntersville because there was the office for Mercedes-Benz. So, and I called it right away Boringsville.
Yeah, I can see.
My first artwork called Welcome to Boringsville. This was a big piece of wood with 70 cookie cutter houses and one little colorful house in between.
Oh, I love it. I love that. I love that. That's fantastic. That's very accurate.
It's changing, you know. I see it's changing, but it's 20 years ago. This was pretty lame there, and just Birkdale opened up. And still, it looks like, you know, like out of a Green Tomato movie, you know, as well.
So you've been in Charlotte for a while.
Yeah.
How do you like it? How does it compare to Germany?
Oh, it's a big difference, you know. It's a big difference from the amount of people, how the people are, the traffic, the houses, the shopping, the food, the prices, everything is a big difference. I think every country has their pro and cons. So I haven't seen a country where I said, oh my God, I like to live there. That's perfect.
Right,
The
right.
perfect country.
I
It's
have
not.
to find
It's not.
it.
So like I said, everything has a pro and con, and it's the same when you compare this. I cannot imagine, honestly, to live back in Germany for good and move there back. I don't think so. I could do this.
Right.
And here it's fine, but you know, I'm also happy that we have an international airport.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm sure that helps quite a bit. So, do you get to see your family, your friends and family back from Germany a lot?
I see that I'm flying back to Europe, so 2 times a year, 1 or 2 times a year. But then also, I like to do other trips. Like recently, I just came back from Colombia, South
Oh,
America.
wow.
And this was very eye-opening because actually, my friend over there, another artist, he is building a beautiful big studio. And then I thought when I came back, I said, oh my, and I have to work in this shitty garage. I said, yes. So, and then I got this idea, to fix up my shitty garage. And then I said, I can offer workshops because so many people asked me already. And then honestly, I said, I will not take children workshops. That's so much responsibility. And also I would need to employ an assistant or so. And then the price goes up. And then I talk with some mothers, and mostly they can and will not pay more than $20, $25. And then it's not working when I have to have an employee and only I can keep maybe 6 kids and it's form back not working, So I decided I will do workshops, corporate workshops, with binding colleagues together, doing something out of the normal office day, offer them maybe the company, the boss is offering them once a year, a kind like a cool workshop in a ceramic studio.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, so I said it's a little bit easier for me, to do than the ceramic classes. Maybe even I would offer a glass of wine with this. This everything makes it easier.
Yes,
And
absolutely.
then have adults there to explain it faster and then offer, depends who is coming, what kind of level they are, what workshops, And I think that's fun and I really into this.
I think that'd be great. I think that'd be a really great like corporate thing, like a job thing that you could a retreat or something like that.
Exactly. And I have already companies who said they will really be in there. And I said, I have to wait for my contractors. I cannot tell you when we can start because I had already two companies who said they will book for May, for April. And I said, I don't know if this guy's coming there for in April. I need the drywall and the flooring and the paint job.
Oh, that's so exciting. That is so exciting. Oh my gosh, that's how do you keep track of all the stuff that you're doing?
It's a lot. Sometimes it's a lot. It's a little bit overwhelming. So with the construction thing, I had to write a list because I have also to take care for the garage door and I have to get all this in order. I have to write lists like a good German. I have to order the pod for all the stuff. Then I need to get moving boxes and I need to get the insulation for the door. Then I have to pressure wash it before the paint job is coming in.
That's funny. I didn't realize that Germans made lists. I make lists, and I'm slightly German, I guess. I'm basically a mutt, but I ended up with a German last name, so
Mustermann is such a typical German name. It's unbelievable.
I read that it was kind of like John Doe in Germany, like
The
the
sample name.
Exactly. I thought that was kind of interesting because I'd never heard that before. But yeah, I like making lists. So that's good to know that it's a German thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Otherwise, it's too much because I have so on the weekend I don't know if you ever heard about the Allegro Foundation.
I think
They
so.
help. This is Senor Zabates from South Park, from South Boulevard Mercedes. He is a host for a big donation gala once a year. They're supporting disabled, very heavy disabled kids. And they asked me end of last year if I'd like to be the artist of the year. And I said, first, who else was there? And then they had the name in between all the other names, Giuli. And I said, oh, of course, well, I will do this. And it happened that they were picking an artwork because I said generously, you look on the website what you like. And they picked an artwork what just got sold. And since I was so eager and loved it so much, I made it again. So when I came back on the for New Year's and Christmas, I went to Italy and Dublin. And so when I came back, I went to the studio in my shitty studio, and made my new sculpture another kind like this one they were picking. And so for the Allegro Foundation, and this is now Saturday, And I have to do a speech, so I have to sit down and write something for a 5-minute speech, what I really don't like to do in front of
Right.
all these people.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
And yeah, but I have this piece there and I made extra for them, and that's exciting. And I'm glad I can help them because I know I have a niece. She got a baby and this baby was deaf from the first day on. And it's a hardship, you know, for them. So, and yeah, and then after the Allegro Foundation, I have Country Day. They have always a big art sale, and
Okay.
they asked me if I have something there, and I like to support them
Yeah.
because a family member was there in school. So I had four artworks, four beautiful sculptures for, like I said, a very good price there to offer for sale for the Country Day art sale, and this is end of April.
Okay.
And then the next thing is coming. You will not believe this. The next is coming up. It's the McCall Center. I have also every year I will help them with, for the auction, and I
Neat.
have two wonderful pieces for their auction for the McCall Center. And this is end of April, beginning May.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. She's excited too.
And then I hope, you know, then I hope really that the workshop is going on so that I have maybe at least two workshops a week. That's my goal. And
That would be awesome.
yeah, and then I have still time, you know, to do small artwork because I will create a new website. So I have my high-end artwork. I will have my workshops in, and I will create small pieces, you know, what you can send and ship easily without damage away.
Yeah.
So, and I will see. So next week I have this meeting with this website people. So
Cool. Oh, that's so exciting. All kinds of great stuff.
oh yeah, it has to go. So yeah, I had a bad year last year, what I mentioned to you, you know, with the family, with the Bechler family.
Right.
So I'm coming out of this, and I
Okay.
said I have to do something now and
Absolutely.
start new.
Yeah.
And yeah, now I'm doing this, you know.
But you're doing it. You're doing
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Well, let me know if there's anything I can do to help. I will definitely spread the word and
Yeah, this would be great. Spread the word, this for sure. And whenever you like, come over. When the studio is done, you should come over
would love to. Would love to. That would be
and see
ideal.
what I'm doing here.
Yeah. Maybe I could do a podcast during one of your events. Your
Yes, this would be
that
fantastic.
would
Yeah.
be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be
Yeah.
really cool. We could work that out.
Yeah.
Totally, totally. Well, thank you so much, Regina. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, and I'm really excited
Thank
about
you. Thank
everything you're
you that you invited me. This was great to talk and tell a bit, little bit about me and my artwork.
doing. Well, I totally dig your stuff, and I think you're totally original and just totally just I've always loved your stuff ever since I first saw it. So
Thank you. I know sometimes I'm maybe a little bit, when you can say this, avant-garde too much for the people here. And I know it's maybe my German background. I don't know. Maybe my German brain.
right. Well, I mean, I think, yeah, you're too avant-garde for a small group of people, I would think. But I think that I don't know, I think there's a growing group of people that really, really like it, really appreciate it. So that's so keep doing what you're doing,
Thank you. I will.
and we will chat again later, and we'll do another show sometime. And I hope you have a great day.
Yes, I will. You too. Don't work too hard. Ken, my daughter asked me just, I talked with her. She lives in Dublin. And
Oh,
yeah, she was first living in Milano. She made her master's in fashion there, fashion marketing.
wow. Okay.
And she moved to Dublin. And she
Wow.
asked me just, she just called me and she asked me where she can listen to this podcast. I said, I don't know. Can she
Yeah,
listen to this?
she can. I'll post it. I'll probably post it in like a week or two. Probably a week. And I'll send you a link. And I would love it if you would share it and post it on your websites or in social media.
Okay, great.
But yeah, she can listen to it and anyone can listen to it.
Good, great. This sounds good. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much. Thank you, Regine. You're awesome.
Thank you. We stay in contact, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll let you know when this posts.
Thank you so much to Regine Beckler for chatting with me. Love what you're doing. If you want to keep up with Regine, you can find her at reginebecklercontemporaryart.com. If you're finding value in these episodes, please like and share on social media or consider sponsoring me on Patreon. Thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production, music by Corey Knoxville.